ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hello and welcome to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week I thought I would do something slightly different, because I am in the middle of a bunch of editing and work, but I thought I would share what I have learned over the last 25 episodes, or 24 episodes, I should say. So I have recorded, or I have dropped, technically 26 episodes. In the world of podcasting, this is a huge deal. But for me, I feel like it's just the beginning. Most podcasts last for about 3 months, 4 months. Normally don't make it past about 13 episodes is the average fail rate. Now, I spent a lot of time editing these episodes, so I've learned a lot from these guys. A lot of it doesn't even make it in the episodes because I feel like it's not coherent with the message that we're going with. And I know that the episodes are kind of scattered all over the place when we're interviewing, but they would be even more scattered if I would leave everything in. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch. Hey guys, so as you guys know, in the intro, what I was talking about, I'm going to go through every episode and share with you what I learned. And the first episode I launched was with Derek Waldeck. And the title of that episode was Finding the 1%. I don't know if you guys know what that means in the big grand scheme of things, but that's huge. Having a child that is 9 years old that's playing this beautiful game is teaching him to find the 1%. 1% of getting better in training, getting more dribble ups or juggle ups, whatever you want to call them, to finding 1% faster in speed or finding angles to be more competitive, but finding that 1% and how important it is for these players to find that. Now, Landon finds that 1%. I think part of it is how we talk to him. I think the other part is him just loving the game. I recently talked to him going into a tournament, and we talk about where to play. They talked about it in some of his team sessions. They talked about it in his private sessions that he has. And one of the things that him and I talked about was, when a player's faster than you, where do you go? And he goes, run by them. I go, but if they run past the ball, what happens? Or if they beat you to the ball and they're in front of you, they can easily cross it then, or they can dribble to the goal and shoot. I go, where do you think you need to be? And he goes, towards the goal. So he went into this tournament. This kid was fast. Let me tell you, he was fast. And he found his 1% in that game. He found his angle to cut that kid off so he couldn't cross the ball. Even though he was probably a stride, maybe two strides ahead of him going after the ball, Landon was able to shut him down. And I found it funny is that several weeks later, he saw the same kid in camp. The kid told him, it's like, I asked my coach to be on the other side so I wouldn't have to go against you. Landon was playing left back. And if you know my son at all, he's a right-footed kid, but he's good with his left foot still. I think all the coaches he's had so far that have worked with him on building that left foot. But your players have to find those moments like Landon did. You have to find those moments, those 1% moments of improvement, or finding the advantage because you're at a disadvantage. And that's what something Derek talked about in his interview. He played years up. That's what he learned to do. And that's something I introduced to Landon in our conversations, is finding that 1%. And my wife and I talk to him heavily about this stuff. It's like asking questions. It's not bombarding him and telling him what he needs to be doing. It's asking him questions and making him think for himself. Next was Jennifer Giles with nutrition. And what I found very fascinating with her was what she said at the end. I asked who was someone that motivated her, or someone that helped her along the way. And she said herself. And for a long time, I didn't quite get this comment. And as I thought about it, it really hit home a few interviews ago about finding yourself, finding what motivates you inside of yourself to be better, that pushes you better. And she had that answer right out of the gate. And I thought it was really interesting. And as a parent that have two young athletes, and I realized my kids need to learn how to be their own motivation, their own push. That mom and dad don't need to push them. They have to find that. We can help them get there and facilitate that motivation, but it's their job to find it within themselves, to do it themselves. Next was Skylar Simmons with Cross City SC. And I really bought into the whole idea of pathways and how to help your players achieve their goals. And what is the clubs doing for your players to achieve their goals? The message he gave me was not just the club, but the club should be providing a pathway. And this pathway should be to whatever your players' end goals are. And if they can open the door to that, you're going to be better off for your player. Your player will be better off. But your player has to have this decision-making in the process too. Nolan Norris. I feel like I made one mistake when I was interviewing him, and I said that his future is light years away. No, it's on the cusp of whatever he's doing next. In my mind, because he's so young, it is like years away. A year, 2 years, even 3 years, being 17 at the time. 3 years away feels like an eternity at that age. But in the grand scheme of things, even if it's a year away or 6 months away or a year and a half away, he's on the cusp of his next great adventure for soccer. He has a phenomenal support system with his family, but he knows what he wants and he's chasing it. Watching this young man grow as a player over the last 6 months, going to the FC Dallas game, going to North Texas games, listening to how he communicates and his body language reads and how he's playing the game really has transformed how I look at younger players and getting him motivated to go to the next place. Getting himself motivated to go to the next place. And it goes back to finding that 1% with Derek. He knows what he wants. He just has to figure out how to get there. Daniel Dobson. I interviewed him because I came across his striker camp that he was trying to put on, and I was reading his resume. I'm like, oh, this might be a fun one. But actually sitting down and talking to him and learning about what he's doing with DKSC is phenomenal. How they have a program with called Bad Top U. If you don't know anything about it, go search it up, research it, spend time with it. But go see what they're doing at DKSC. See what he's doing. What he is doing as a coach, a mentor with DKSC is phenomenal. He's teaching these players and families on how to prep their kids to get ready for college, what they need to do to prep themselves to go to the next level. Like I said, Cross City talks about this. This is his job with college. His job is to help players get ready for college. And to have someone at their doorsteps doing that for them is absolutely phenomenal. North Texas Soccer Club. And when I interviewed Matt Denny, this is when I learned a lot about the club. And watching them play this past two seasons really showed what they're trying to do. It's a hard process. They're taking very young players and trying to win a league where some of these teams are having late 20-year-olds, early 30-year-olds playing on the squad and trying to be successful. And let me tell you, it is a hard world when your average age for your roster is around 19. Your oldest player most of the time is about 20. So what they're doing and how successful they are, I think is pretty impressive. Dutch FC with Wilco and Dennis. These two guys really changed my perspective and really made me start thinking long and hard on questions I should be asking process of my son trying out for teams or coaches for that matter, any coach. I've learned to ask questions differently. Wilco perspective on the game in the United States, and I think he's right. We are not a soccer developed country. And we have a long ways to get there. Those are my words, not his. But the soccer developed country, he's right. We have too much politics, too much of everything involved in the game. And we've even seen it with the U.S. men's national team. But what I really gravitated to was his two squad system. That you have your competitive developmental and the competitive squad. Now, players should be able to flow back and forth between these two squads. They support each other. But the type of players you have are really three types. And I know that I'm not going to get one of these wrong, but he talked about you have a playmaker, you have your all-star, and you have your support players. Your support players really are there to be there to help the team lift up. Your playmakers are the ones that can stop the ball, pass the ball, and your all-star is the one scoring goals. I mean, he might have used different terminology, but that's how I interpreted it. But when you switch between the two teams, your support player may now be your all-star. Your all-star might be a support player. Your playmaker might now be an all-star or a support player. It varies depending on the squad and how they're being put into the squad to play. And I thought this was very interesting, is how this is their goal, is to have these two squad systems between the two. And it really made me think long and hard, and I thought it was really impressive that this is what they were trying to do, and trying to make soccer affordable, and trying to help families get there. And it doesn't have to be this crazy amount of money for these players to play. Offside with Brian Barlow. Now, if any of you know who this man is, you know that he is the owner of the Facebook group Offside. And I left my spelling error in there on purpose because I found it funny, because that's how I say it. Offside. There's no offsides in a game. But Brian talked about parents' behavior on the sideline. Who out there is a cheeseburger? If you're listening to this, you might not be, but I can raise my hand. I haven't, since I've interviewed him, I've calmed way down. I've learned to take a different approach with the referees. At halftime, when they walk by and it's like, hey, can you just watch out for such and such on the field? It's going both ways. Or so-and-so, this is what we're seeing. Can you watch out for it? I go, I know it goes both ways. You guys just have to watch out for the safety of the kids. But just try to be more civil versus being yelling at the refs. Letting the players play the game. And if you spend any time watching social media and parents' interactions today, it's getting crazier and crazier. It's not getting better. But in time, I hope we can all educate ourselves and spend time reflecting on our behavior at the pitch, the diamond, the gridiron, the basketball court, the rink, whatever our kids are doing. Just be there as spectators as much as possible. I know it's hard. I'm guilty of everything I'm talking about. But if we can just take time to really enjoy the game and see where it's going, I think we have a fighting chance. Next was Fort Worth Vaqueros with Tony. I like Tony. I like his personality. I like his gung-ho attitude. Let's get this stuff done. As I'm watching them grow from a distance, it's awesome. Seeing them get all these players signed for their team, getting a reserve, hopefully having a reserve team, trying to do everything they're trying to do is phenomenal. Their academy is great. As you watch this club grow, watch what they're doing. They aren't trying to be this monster club. They're truly trying to develop players and doing it in an economical way and trying to promote soccer within the community, trying to build a community team in Fort Worth. And give it time. I hope you guys do. And go watch them play a match. I think you're going to be really impressed. Villarreal, Coach Gio. This is a guy who I go to for advice when I need advice on things or asking questions that I don't understand. Now, Coach Gio gave us that bitter pill of to parents, and it's hard. If we take time and learn to be better parents and prepping our kids and being there, I think Gio's message is not so hard to swallow. It's just the truth. You want coaches that speak the truth to you. You want coaches that will respect you as an individual, as parents, and with your players. Next was Alan Hamilton with Team Player. Now, if you know what this is, Team Player is a website you go to go find your team. You can set up a player profile there, and coaches can be assigned to you, line you up with other teams, and they will help you find a right coach possibly for your player. Now, that being said, Alan made a comment in his interview, and as a father, I realized this is me. I am my son's greatest rah-rah person, his biggest cheerleader, his biggest hype man. And I feel like it's not good sometimes as a father or as a parent to be too big of a hype man. And I feel like sometimes I could hurt Landon and sometimes I could hurt my daughter. But at the end of the day, I'm lucky to have a wife that's also a realist and brings me down to reality and checks me in. But still cheers on our kids and tries to bring them up too and tries to tell them, like, if you put your mind to it, put the effort in, you can achieve these goals. Matt Montaigne, this was probably one of the most influential interviews with a quote I've had yet. He mentioned, his quote was, your emotions affect your attitude. Your attitude affects your results. And I looked at this from a parent's perspective and not a player's perspective right away. If I let my emotions get out of check at a soccer game, it affects my attitude, how I look at what's going on. And the results is either hurting my son's emotions or making the officials mad at me or whatever it may be. If I learn to do that, control my emotions in the game, watching my kids do their activities, the game will be better. As a parent, as a person, that's so true. We all have goals. We all have inspirations. We all have these points that we're trying to achieve. It's just a matter of achieving them. And if we take the time to check our emotions, that then eventually our results will follow through. Now, how this applies to our players, it's what we tell Landon all the time. When someone makes you mad on the soccer field, go take it out on the soccer field. Don't take it out on the player. Go show them why you're a great little baller. Run hard. Do better skills faster. Be more technical. Up to us to teach our kids how to control our emotions, their emotions. If we control ours, they will control theirs. We lead by example. That's where kids learn it from. I learned from this next interview, you never want to forget your kit, whatever proper jersey, if it's home or away. Otherwise, you will be the goalie. This is with Aces Soccer Club, a great medium-sized club. They'll offer a lot. They also believe in the squad system and trying to promote and trying to give players a pathway to the next step, whatever it may be. It may be college or pros, but they have a pathway program. Once again, I talked about it with Cross City. This is something important to see and hear. Laura Stark with Stark Strong Performance. I think this was a fun interview, and I think it's really soccer related outside of the running. I mean, if you aren't running with the ball, you're jogging or running into position, and learning how to have the correct form is so important. Just like the fundamentals of touching with the soccer ball, the fundamentals with your feet hitting the ground and having the pillars of running and understanding it will help your player be a more agile player, more player with skills and movement and things along that line. Laura made me think a lot about how we build our foundations of our players, not just as a athlete, but as a person. But what she talked about is starting from the basics and being willing to start from there and moving forward. And it takes time. It takes time to correct your running form. It takes time to correct your soccer form. Now, they're all tied. So if you don't know much about running, go check her out, and I would advise you. Next is Gavin Moll. Gavin, I think, was a great interview because he talks about his pathway of his food nutrition side, how he started off as a soccer player and how soccer was his pathway actually getting into what he's doing today with nutrition. I mean, yes, he is a coach and he's still actively involved in soccer, but nutrition and how important that is and fueling your kids to being ready and reading labels better and trying things out in practices and not games or before other places and being ready to go. In my last interview, Coach Patty with Shamrock FC, by far this was the most engaged I have felt in an interview. And all the rest, I feel like I'm really engaged, but sitting across from Patty and having a conversation with him was awesome. Hearing him share his story, share what's going on, and where he went and how he became a coach here in the States, and the boys that he's coached and where they have gone. But he said one quote that really made me think long and hard, and I've shared it with my son several times. A bad first touch will lead to a bad pass, which will lead to another bad pass, which will lead to a turnover, and that turnover will lead to a goal. It doesn't mean it'll happen that way, but that's the pattern. It doesn't mean the pattern will happen that way every time. But as we go and watch our players develop, we need to make sure that they're applying this to every aspect of their life. It's about hustling. It's about being there. Like I said, it goes back to what Derek really talked about. Is that 1%, building upon the foundations, building these players up to be ready for the next level. And it all starts with one bad touch. Now, when they're young during these golden years, it's important to make sure they're getting those great first touches, those great coaches in their lives. And if they aren't getting them, find them. Now, I know this is a short episode. I know I'm like delivering it to you guys. But I hope you guys have enjoyed it. And I hope you guys will come and come back in next week. Or I might take next week off. My family's on vacation. But I hope you guys enjoy this and hope you guys enjoy the next episodes coming. Have a wonderful time, and until next time at the pitch. See you at the pitch.